Welcome to All Things Business for Physicians, where I chat with marketers, accountants, physicians, and consultants to talk about everything like social media, office culture, running your medical practice, and how to align marketing and operations. If you're looking to grow your practice, get access to our patient acquisition and retention framework at hip.agency. Now I'd like to welcome today's guest, Dr. Nathan Patterson. Dr. Patterson is a board-certified plastic surgeon and owns Patterson Plastic Surgery in Pensacola, Florida. Dr. Patterson, are you ready to share your story and talk about getting burnt by marketers?
Sure.
Take a moment to introduce yourself and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
My name is Dr. Nathan Patterson. I'm a plastic surgeon in the Panhandle of Florida. I'm married, I have a two-year-old boy, and I've been in practice for 13 years now.
Awesome. So let's talk about your experience with marketing companies. What is your worst memory of working with a marketing company?
Hard to pick which one is the worst one.
Give us some of the highlights.
I met a guy in a conference one time. I was at a big plastic surgery meeting I go to once a year, and this guy had a booth set up, and he was a personable fellow, and we talked for a bit, and he had a pretty good spiel. And I then agreed to a meeting with him later at that conference, and that eventually developed into me signing a marketing agreement with his company, which resulted in zero demonstrable benefit to me, but a lot of money going out. And because I was a stupid, naive physician at the time and not a businessman, I didn't really plan for failure. I didn't really plan for extrication. I didn't plan for what I was gonna do if it didn't work. And I was kind of locked in for a while. And so it became a pretty painful situation to try to get out of it, because I was trying to ask him, like, what can you do to show me that you've done me any good? Because I don't see any benefit at the bottom line. In fact, I'm actually losing money now. I'm spending money on you that I'm not recouping. I have no way to demonstrate any increased revenue in my practice, or increased reputation of my practice, or increased recognition of my practice, or any positive outcome by any measure I could conceive of. It wasn't really helping me. So that was pretty bad, because I got stuck in this sort of back and forth, and those guys threatened to sue me, and I said, fine, just show me you've done anything. And they couldn't. And then I think the guy must have left the company, because someone else became our contact person eventually, and it just ended up consuming a huge amount of my time, and it caused a lot of heartburn. I mean, I was pretty frustrated that I let myself be tricked like that, maybe. But the guy kept coming to the same conference every year, so he must have believed something about himself. And he actually even tried to talk to me the next year. And I said, man, I don't think we should be talking too much about this. Let's just say that, you know, we disagree about the way things shook out. And if you feel like you need to contact a lawyer to sue me, then go ahead. But you quit working for me a long time ago, so I don't know how much more you expect to collect. You already got a bunch of money for doing nothing. I hired another company locally, and they promised the moon. They were nice when I met them. Of course, that's their job, to be nice. They didn't do anything, and they were recommending all these things that I just, on some level, even I knew weren't going to get me that far. And they were trying to recommend spending on what I now consider to be pretty outdated modes of advertising. They wanted me to do TV spots and pay for radio commercials and do a lot of print media. And I started thinking to myself, these are things that, while maybe some patients will see, very few of my target audience patients are going to be spending time engaged in any of these media outlets.
Right.
And it was a shotgun approach, which means they were just sending it out to the masses, and I didn't know if I was going to get anyone back. So I spent a lot of money with that guy, and he was every single month. Within 3 months of me signing a contract with him, we were going to be over budget. And he would come to me, or come to my office manager, or come to the practice often and say, we need to spend more money on this, or we need to spend more money on that. Incidentally, he got out of that line of business too at some point.
So let's talk about the first story you shared, and just kind of how you were locked into an agreement. Was there any type of out clause in that agreement, or were you seriously locked in for months?
I was locked in for about a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was a big mistake.
So always make sure there's maybe like a 30-day out or something that you can get out of that contract.
Couldn't agree more. Yes. Make sure there's an out, and make sure there's some way to cancel if you have cause. Like if your cause is that they can't demonstrate something, or they haven't met some agreement, or basically haven't met their end of the bargain, you have to be able to have a way to get out. And if someone won't give you that, you have to wonder how much faith they have in their own ability. You know, if they're not going to back their product, you really want to buy it. I don't buy a car without a warranty, unless it's a really cheap car, and then I know it doesn't have a warranty because it's 10 right. years old.
Exactly. Yeah. So what are some of the lessons? I mean, you just talked about one, an out clause, but what did you learn from that, and how did you move forward from those relationships?
Well, it was a slow progression for me, sadly, but I definitely learned that you need to have an out clause. You need to monitor progress or track your progress. You need to have regular meetings and a good discourse with your marketing company so you can actually discuss things. You need to be able to prove to yourself, or they need to prove to you, one of the two, that what you're spending your money on is getting you something. And if you can't agree on metrics, then you're going to have to be awfully lucky to have success there. So you need to define all these goals, define your metrics, define how often you're going to meet. Make sure that you're having your questions answered, basically, and that you're getting somewhere. In the end, to kind of get where you want to go, you got to have a goal. You know, you don't have success without goals for the most part. So what I learned from all that stuff is that going into it, hoping for the best and thinking these guys are great and they're going to do exactly what they said is naive, and it's going to fail you sometimes, at least. And I would submit most of the time it's going to fail you.
That's good. So let's talk about reporting, and, you know, you're talking about metrics. Did you ever receive marketing reports, and were they even accurate or helpful?
Our marketing reports were all over the place. So either we got none, or they were sporadic, or meetings would get canceled and then somehow mysteriously not rescheduled in a timely manner. That was one strategy of not telling us anything. Another strategy was that it's impossible to record, which is a big problem with pure outgoing advertising, like putting an ad on the radio. How do you know how many people it reached? It's impossible to track that. And then the next issue we had was when we got reports, they would sometimes tell us these outlandish numbers that really didn't mean anything, like, oh, we see that 10,000 people saw you on whatever media outlet, you know, Google or Facebook or whatever. But if you don't see any increase in business, who cares? Maybe who cares is over time you build a brand, but that's a pretty nebulous thing. If you're still not seeing an increase in business over time, how do you know if that really matters, and what's the benefit really in the long run?
Right.
If everybody in the country knows who you are, but nobody uses your product, is that good?
Probably not.
Yeah, maybe not so great.
Yeah, so you kind of need to have a short-term strategy and a long game.
I agree, because I feel like it's, I don't know if common sense is the right word, but I feel like it's apparent to me innately that brand recognition is a value. And you can't just get brand recognition from people you actually engage with from a business perspective. You don't only gain brand recognition from people who actually use your product. There are other people that hear about you, or they're the relative of someone you've operated on or dealt with medically and made better. Maybe you just consulted with them and you didn't operate on them, but you helped them and gave them information. That happens all the time. People say, thank you for not operating on me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's value in brand recognition for sure, because they refer friends. And unfortunately, bad news travels fast, but good news travels too. And if your name is out there enough and people like you and care about you or think highly of you or at least recognize you, there's some inherent value in that. But it is hard to assign a dollar figure to that value.
Yeah.
So I think that matters substantially. And then, of course, the secondary part is, are you increasing your business? Is it an efficient increase in business? Is it business you want to do or you're going to have good outcomes to and they're going to help you? Or is it bad business that either you don't get paid for or you take a lot of risk in or is going to have a high percent of unsatisfied patients?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that is really important. So there's so many different buzzwords, and I'm sure you've heard them all. We even get hit as a marketing company with all the marketers and all the buzzwords like SEO, inbound marketing, pay-per-click. As a business owner, what really matters, and what do you want to hear out of your marketer's mouth?
I think what really matters the most is the bottom line. So what as a business person who happens to be a physician, or you may say the other way around, as a physician who happens to be a business person, I think of it as a physician who has to be a business person.
Right.
Because it's not really what I trained in. And it's not my first love either. But I want to make my practice successful. And that means it has to be successful, not only satisfactorily to me to fulfill my desires to do my job right and to help people, but it also has to be satisfactory or successful from the standpoint of generating income as a practice. So what I want to hear from my marketer, or what I want to get from my marketing team is increased revenue, which means not only increased case volume, because it may actually be a decrease in case volume, but increased efficiency, I guess. When I talk about efficiency, I mean income for the practice per hour of spent working. So that's the bottom line. No matter what all the other stuff we talk about comes to, it boils down to, are you generating more dollars for your hour of work? The second thing I want to get from them is a plan long-term and metrics on how we're going to get there and how we've done so far. So basically analysis. And that gets pretty complicated when you talk about what you want to hear from your marketer, because it could be you just want to hear contact from them, that they're working on something. You want to hear that there's progress. You may want to hear very specific ideas about how they're getting there and what they're doing. I've been surprised to find that the more you talk to a good marketing team, the more they almost become like business partners and not just someone that you're hiring to run an ad campaign for you.
Right.
They end up understanding what you do. They end up understanding some of the complicated parts of what you do and why there are problems sometimes, why some situations are problematic, why some potential clients, patients, whatever you want to call them, are maybe not the best ones for you, and why there are ways to do things that you don't want to do, and for whatever personal reason or professional reason, maybe it's a bad way to do business. Maybe they're thinking it's good to get this massive 9-hour surgery on the books, and you're thinking, no, that's bad because they're going to have a bad outcome. There's a higher chance for complication. The patients who are going to want to do this surgery are generally not going to understand what they're signing up for, no matter what you say to them, and they may not do well. So maybe every surgeon or doctor or practice is going to want to hear different things from the marketing company, but I think what you really want to hear from them can be summarized by saying that you want to hear a pathway to success. And that
right.
may be individualized from person to person. I'm sure that my idea for success is going to be different than someone who does something different, like a pulmonologist or, you know, maybe a neonatologist or something like that. That's reasonable. But the discourse that gets you there and comes up with a plan and modifies that plan based on what you're seeing as your feedback coming back from your practice in the community is kind of how you get success, I think.
Sure. And a big part of that is measuring revenue.
Exactly.
You know, you're either up or down, and then you have to look at that and ask yourself why.
Right. And well, you have to kind of understand that in medicine, that's sort of I don't want to use the phrase dirty word, but marketing was looked poorly upon by physicians for decades. In fact, up until recently, most people would kind of look down their noses at anyone who did market. I even have a good friend of mine who's retired now, but he would get really hot under the collar if any of his competition would advertise because he was very against it. He somehow felt like it was just wrong. Well, it can be wrong if you mislead people, and it can be wrong if you do it wrong, but if you are telling the truth and just trying to put yourself out there and show people that you can do things to achieve the goals they want in a reasonable and safe way, that's not wrong. That's just telling them what's available. So it's not tricking people into using you or coming to you. It's just doing the right thing.
And unless you're the only surgeon in town, it's a necessity.
Correct. Yeah. And if you think that it's not an important part of your business, then you're operating 20 or 30 years ago, and it's probably not going to pan out well for you in the long term.
Definitely. So, you know, we've already talked about this some, but strategy is so important. And did some of those bad experiences, did they pitch, looking back, did they pitch a sound strategy when you first met them?
I don't think they had a cohesive plan. I think that what they really wanted was tell me a budget. They wanted me to give them a number, and they wanted to go spend it. And then they were just sort of throwing it up against the wall and seeing what would happen. And if I came back and had a good month, which may or may not have had anything to do with them, they would modify the plan some. So if I had a great month, they would do the same thing. If I had a bad month, they would change it. Well, you know, most businesses have seasons that have to do with all kind of things, from summer vacation for kids and students to vacation for holidays for adults and families too, to seasons when people want to be getting surgery in my particular business. And some people don't want surgery in the summertime because they're going to be outside all the time, or they're playing sports all summer or whatnot. There are right. big seasons for that. So there should be natural, healthy kind of variations or cycles of your practice, in my world anyway. And no, those other guys that I worked with frequently didn't have any sort of plan at all. They would just sort of spend money on radio this month, and if it didn't work, they would try TV next month, and if that didn't work, they'd go to print media or some version of that.
Right.
Or they would just try to just load up on Google AdWords or any of these other things like that and say, oh yeah, we're the new hot thing is XYZ, and they dump a bunch of money into that and to see what happened. And if they had success, they would take all the credit. If it didn't work out well, they would typically come up with some reason why it wasn't their fault.
Yeah. Some competitor did it better.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. What is the most ridiculous thing that a marketer has promised you, specifically one thing?
I think I would have to say, we're going to double your leads in a month. And so, yeah, once again, unless you're really measuring things in a very precise way, month to month, what does that really mean?
Right.
And is he responsible? Is that guy responsible for that or not? And of course, we couldn't prove that. And so,
are they quality leads? How are you exactly right. going to do
are
that?
Are half the leads that came in this month because of something you did 6 months ago? Or is it what he did last month?
Right.
Is it the cocktail party your wife might have been at last week and she talked to three friends and they all came in this week?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with that marketing guy.
Right. Well, first off, as a marketer myself, I don't promise anything. You know, I say, here's the plan. I think it's a good plan. And, you know, here's what could happen. You always want to paint that picture, but I never promise any type of result, because I learned early on, even if you had the same result with surgeon X and you promised that to surgeon Y, well, it's totally different. You know, even with you as a plastic surgeon, I could go to another plastic surgeon in town and it's a different business. It's a different model. He may hate breast augmentations. You may love breast augmentations. So just like you said, it's about learning that business. What are their goals? What do they want to accomplish? And then rolling out a plan short term and long term to help them hit that goal.
I agree.
Okay, so we're at the end and we're going to speed things up. What is the best marketing advice you've ever been given?
I would say develop a relationship with your marketing company, have a plan with them, engage yourself in that plan, and modify the plan as things develop to keep improving it.
Good.
Basically, a constant discourse.
Yep. In hindsight, what would you do differently when hiring your first marketing company?
Wow. All the things I talked about, I think in a nutshell, I would have an escape clause, so to speak. I would have metrics that you're going to talk about. I would almost immediately disregard anyone who made promises, because promises, they're just not, they can't keep them. Promises
yeah.
like about goal-oriented promises, like we're going to double this, or we're going to give you this many leads, that. Unless they're really low, there's no way to keep those. Because if you yourself are a disaster, it doesn't matter how good your marketing team is.
Right. And marketing to some degree is a gamble, right? I mean, you are somewhat gambling, and even with the best plan in the world, well, unless you're going to get all your money up front,
right.
I don't care what people say, it's gambling. So, you know, I mean, just like you said, there's seasons. There's so many different things that can affect it. Bad staff. You know,
too many variables.
Right. So
you can't account for all those things as a marketing company. You can only control the marketing as a marketing company, which I've come to understand now. What you need to control as the person who hires or engages that marketing company or contracts them is you need to control how long you are going to be associated with them for sure, meaning can you get out of it or not? How you're going to decide if you're satisfied or not, meaning what are you measuring and how are you measuring it? And like I said, communication, development of the plan or strategy or implementation of the strategy with them, meaning are you going to take an active role in giving them feedback and helping them do what they got to do? Because most good marketing companies aren't just going to run some ads for you and say that's it.
Right.
They're going to require feedback.
Yeah. They're going to want to get to know you. Yeah. Definitely.
And if you're not willing to give them feedback or hire the staff to give them feedback, then it's destined to fail.
Right.
You're setting them up for failure, and you're going to be dissatisfied because they're not going to be able to provide you with everything you're hoping for.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more. So you've already shared a lot, but give us some final words. What's the best advice you can tell our listeners who are struggling to find a trustworthy and effective marketing company?
Meet with them, talk with them, see if you actually believe them or not. See if you get a good feeling about them. Make sure that you can communicate well with them. Make sure they don't do any of those things that I consider to be red flags, like promise you the unobtainable or the unknowable, and be able to exit if it's not working for you. But above all else, communicate with them and then work hard to make it work. Work with them, not against them, and don't be just a passive ride-along member of the whole engagement process.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for doing this podcast. I hope business owners and surgeons are able to learn from it.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, I hope this helped. We'd love to know what you thought about today's podcast, so shoot me an email at luke@hipcreativeinc.com and let me know things you are implementing from today's episode. Also, if you have any ideas on topics or just ideas for the podcast in general, let me know. To learn more about Hip Creative, head over to hip.agency. Thank you so much.